be seated. Camp is coming quick. If you've not registered for camp, please make sure you get those forms and the fees in for camp. Brother Hendricks, Pastor Hendricks gave me an update of about 120 campers at this point that we're expecting with 70 workers. And boy, we are 4 weeks away, I think, something like that. So that's coming fast. This coming Tuesday, our interns start with us in a 10-week-long internship. And we're very excited about that. A lot of work been put into that. And they are doing a pastoral internship, which means that they will get the study and the prayer and the all the different aspects of ministry, visitation, preparation, administration, meetings, all of that. We got cranked into 10 weeks for them, so pray for them. Pray vigilantly for them as they step in with us. And good reminder for everyone in regards to that, and that is that with staff and interns, and we put a load of work on everybody. And so these people are not sitting, you know, drinking their sodas wondering what they're going to do next. And so with that, I always just want to make sure that you know that if there's something major that you need done, or you're ahead of department and there's some work that you need done and it's going to take more than 5 minutes, obviously we want to be servants to the church. We are servants to the church. But if you're going to dump any kind of load like that on a staff member or an intern, I just would ask for you to run that through me first. The reason being is that there's a load of work that needs to be done that is put upon them that comes from the top down, so to speak, and they're responsible for that work. And so if there's other work that needs to be done that we need to help, then we can work that in. But if everybody just goes and says, well, they're interns, I can give it to them, it just, we don't work well that way. And so just a reminder on all fronts there, just to bear with us, we do thank the Lord that we have a number of young people home that want to serve the Lord in their summers, and not just the interns, but we have other young people home for their college, from college. We have internships backed up into next year, possibly even the next year. And so we're very excited to be able to train the faithful men and women that God's given us. But with that, encourage them, encourage all of our young people as they serve the Lord. And it's a blessing to have all of them home for the summer. And you'll get to hear from different ones throughout the summer. We're in Proverbs 18, verse number 15. The Bible says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." If you go over to chapter 19 and verse number 2, the Bible says also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Proverbs 1 gives us the indication that part of the reason that Proverbs was written to give not was to give knowledge. Now we understand that knowledge is the ability to know something, and wisdom is the ability to take that knowledge and apply it. Understanding sees how it connects, the knowledge connects to my life so that I can live it out. But understand, we can never get to wisdom and understanding if we do not lay a foundation of Bible knowledge. And so tonight, I want to preach tonight on this thought, the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge. Ignorance is dangerous, especially when it comes to God's will and God's word and God's ways. Someone once said this, "No man is uneducated who knows the Bible, and no one is truly educated who is ignorant of its teachings." Ignorance produces hastiness. In verse number 2 of Proverbs 19, "Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth." Or in other words, the idea here is that people have all kinds of zeal, but zeal not balanced with knowledge ends up to be a disaster. And so I want to preach tonight on the pursuit of knowledge. When we think of knowledge, I would argue that the book of Proverbs, when it brings up the word knowledge, is really dealing with spiritual knowledge, or specifically a knowledge of God. In Proverbs 1 verse 4, the Bible says to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. What kind of knowledge? Just general knowledge about the world? Just general knowledge about growing up in America? Just general knowledge about your academics? Or is the Bible talking about a knowledge of God? And I would argue tonight that the greatest knowledge you could develop in your life, young people, the greatest knowledge that you could give yourself to is the knowledge of God. In fact, the Bible gives us a number of things about the knowledge of God by way of introduction tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter number 4. You say, preacher, I'm frustrated with America. I'm frustrated with the direction that it's taking. I'll tell you one of the reasons why we're in the mess that we're in America is we have lost knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is not out there. It's not in our schools. It's not in our workplaces. It's not in our society. We've thrown the knowledge of God out the window. Boy, Hosea the prophet shows what that kind of society looks like in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor what? Knowledge of God in the land. No knowledge of God, no truth, and no mercy. And God picked up on it in the land. And he says, I got a bone to pick with you people. You have no knowledge of God in your land. In Hosea chapter 6, he says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Boy, more than your rituals, more than your religion, more than the things that you bring to me to try to please me. What I'd rather have in your life is a knowledge of God. I'd rather have that. Romans chapter 11, Paul put it this way, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of that. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that book that was written to a church full of sinful problems, full of carnality, he sums up, he ends that book in chapter 15 by saying this, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In that church, some did not have the knowledge of God. And that's why they lived the way that they did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, we understand a very real picture that the knowledge of God is under attack every day in your life and your thought life. For it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what in your life? Against the knowledge of God. Did you know that every day the knowledge of God in your life is under attack? It is threatened in your life just by the fiery darts that come against your mind. It's a serious topic. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When we know God, it gives us understanding about life. Grace and peace are multiplied to the person that has the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. And Daniel said of the knowledge of God, they that know their God, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Man, they're going to be powerful in the hands of God, those that know God. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. If I could put my life around one purpose, it would be to know God. In Psalm 9, verse number 10, it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. I would argue tonight that we need a fresh pursuit of the knowledge of God and His word and His will and His ways. Give you a few points tonight on the pursuit of knowledge. First of all, the discernment of your attitude towards knowledge. The discernment of your attitude towards knowledge. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 1. Did you know that you could discern yourself and your attitude towards knowing God, the knowledge of God and His word and His ways and His will? You can discern it. What do you mean I can discern it? Well, the Bible makes it easy for somebody to discern whether or not they have a good attitude towards the knowledge of God, towards the knowledge of God's word. Proverbs 12, verse number 1, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. I don't know about you, but love's a pretty good word to demonstrate somebody's attitude. And here the Bible says, if you love instruction, you love knowledge. The way that you can measure whether or not you have a good attitude, whether or not your heart's in a place to go after and seek knowledge is how do you respond to instruction? Do you respond to thinking, oh, I heard this one before. Be glad when this is over. Do you respond to instruction? Oh, yeah, another Sunday school class. Oh, yeah, Sunday night service. Boy, it'd just be nice to have some nights off once in a while. Or do you love instruction? Love it, love it, love it. Man, can't wait to get it. Boy, can't wait to have the Scriptures open and get into the Scriptures and mine something out of the truth of God's Word and learn about God and learn about His Word and His will and His ways and learn what God wants me to learn. He that loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But notice in Proverbs 1:29, there's an opposite attitude towards knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge. So you can love knowledge or you can hate knowledge. The Bible says about that person that hates knowledge, they don't choose the fear of the Lord. They hate knowledge. You ever tasted something with a strong lemon taste? Too strong? Like maybe a cough drop that just had a little bit too much pizzazz in it. Something that you put in your mouth and you had it in there for about 2 seconds. What in the world? Get that thing out of my mouth. You know, some people react to biblical knowledge that way. That didn't taste good. I don't know if I want any more of that or not. That they hated knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the first part of the verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 2, the fool hath no delight in understanding. But the Bible says in Psalm 1:1, it talks about a man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. His delight is in knowledge. Question tonight, do you love knowledge? Do you love the knowledge of God's Word? Do you love the knowledge when you're instructed? College students coming out of college, I understand. You're in class after class after class. I understand it can become a weary load. But is there a part of you that says, give me more? I'm not filled up. I need to learn more. Discern your own attitude tonight towards knowledge of God and knowledge of His Word. Is it apathetic? Is it one of despising it? Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. It's the person that can take it or leave it. No big deal. If I don't have devotions today, oh well. I'll get to it tomorrow. I don't get to it tomorrow, oh well. I'll get to it the next day, oh well. It just keeps going on. It's an oh well attitude towards the Word of God. If I get it, okay. If I don't get it, no big deal. If I miss Sunday school, oh, it's okay. I'm not interested in that series right now. Or the teacher, whatever the teacher's on, you know what? If he changes the topic, maybe I'll come and hit that. Whoa, 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 whoa. Discern your own attitude. That's why Proverbs was written, to help us to discern our attitude towards the Word. Then I want you to see number two, the division of the wise and the foolish. Proverbs 15 and verse number 14. This is enlightening. One of our texts tonight. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Notice we're talking about somebody that has understanding. We would consider that a wise person. And we're talking about a fool. One is going in this direction, and the other's going in this direction. One is seeking after knowledge, knowledge of God, spiritual knowledge. And one is feeding on foolishness. Do you see that in the text? Very clear here what the Bible says. Rather than seeking for knowledge in the right places, the mouth of the fool feedeth on foolishness. It is a quality of a fool that their diet is on foolishness. Does that make sense? Well, the word feeding is a very interesting word, or feedeth. It has the idea of to pasture with or to graze with. Watch this. A fool spends time in a fool's pasture where they graze. Get this, important truth. Mark this down. You can't graze in foolish pastures and grow in spiritual knowledge. You cannot. Are you listening to me tonight? You can't graze with fools and at the same time grow in biblical knowledge and a knowledge of God. Those two don't coexist. That can't work. In fact, that word feedeth is translated companion in other passages of Scripture. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion, one that feeds of fools, shall be destroyed. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men, he grazes with riotous men, he grazes with fools, he'll be destroyed. Fools feed where other fools feed. Okay, then where do fools feed? I think that's a valid question. Where do fools feed today? Because I don't want to be feeding where they're feeding. Fools feed on the internet. Wise people feed at church, where there's doctrine that we all agree to. Fools feed on social media. They feed in dark places. Fools feed on something that is new that I just found out that I've never learned before. And if it's too new for you, it's too new. There's nothing new under the sun. Fools feed on theories like evolution. Wise people feed on creation, the facts of Scripture. Fools feed on conspiracies and trying to figure out all the hidden stuff all the time. Search it out, my friend. You'll search it out and you'll never find the truth. Fools feed there. God's people feed on truth. The truth of God's word. And you'll find a lot more comfort there than you will find uncovering conspiracies. Fools feed on things that are interesting, not necessarily truth. Fools feed on open-mindedness. In fact, this is true of fools. They hate absolute truth. Because truth confronts the way they live. And truth confronts the way they think. And truth confronts the way that they speak. And so they hate absolute truth. They want everything to become open-minded. The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Fools feed on the allowances for worldliness. Would you call the promotion of the transgender gender, whatever that is, would you call that wise when you look in the Word of God? No. Where'd that come from? It came from a fool.
Right.
It's what it is. It's foolish. And those that feed on that stuff, they're feeding on foolishness. Right? And so, we're discerning the fool from the wise. Fools spend time studying and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do we have that phrase in Scripture? We certainly do. Captive silly men led, women led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can I tell you some other things that fools feed on? They do feed and spend time where the world spends its time. Fools graze on R-rated movies, on sci-fi that has no truth to it, on fantasy world. That's where fools graze. Christian, do you graze there? Because you're not going to seek knowledge and graze with fools. The Bible makes a sharp contrast. What are you feeding on? Who are you grazing with? Who's passing things along to you to read? Who are you allowing in to your life to affect you? Who's your companion? The people you graze with, are they encouraging you to stay in a Bible-believing church or to leave one? I'll tell you what a fool will do. They'll tell you to leave one. Who are you grazing with? Mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Do they cause you to be stronger? They cause you to be weaker. Who are you grazing with? What pasture are you in tonight? Do they ever tell you this is what the Bible says, or are they constantly watering down the scriptures and telling you constantly the Bible really doesn't mean that? The Bible really doesn't mean that. The Bible really doesn't mean that. The Bible really doesn't mean that. And before long, you graze there and you won't believe anything the Bible says. Do they cause you more certainty? Or do they cause you more confusion? Question for you tonight. Is God a God of certainty and clarity? Or is God a God of confusion? 1 Corinthians 14, God is not the author of confusion. Is God a God of clarity and certainty? Yes, He is. Otherwise, we don't need a book. Just leave it to figure all of us to figure it out on our own. God didn't leave man that way. He gave us the book. And the book to declare to us. Is what you're feeding on causing more contention and debate? You're less established on what you believe than you were. You're grazing, my friend, in the wrong places. Your mouth's feeding on some things that it shouldn't be feeding on. You need to get back to pursuing a knowledge of God in the book. Do you ever think about God being a God of certainty? Creation certain. Salvation certain. The Word is certain. He's not a God of confusion. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Fools feed on uncertainty. So, Proverbs makes a very bold statement here. In Proverbs 22, verse number 21, that I might make thee know. I like the word know. K-N-O-W. I like it. I like knowing. I like having assurance of some things. I like being able to plant my feet. And I know why I believe it. Because it's in God's book. I'm not sure if I believe this. I'm not sure what I believe. I understand, as we're growing in the Christian life, we study the Word, and there may be things that we've not thought through biblically, and we think through those things biblically, so it's not that we have a full knowledge all the time. We grow in our knowledge of God, our knowledge of His Word. But the reason the Word's written is that we would know the certainty. Do you see that? Proverbs says that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Why do I need to know? Because I've got to give an answer. That's why you ought to pursue truth. That's why you ought to seek after a knowledge of God. That's why you ought to give your life to study the Word of God. And in contrast to that, the Bible says avoid foolish questions. Why? Because they gender strifes. They gender uncertainty. And they gender debate. And they gender all kinds of contention and controversy. And Paul wrote to the pastors in Timothy and in Titus. He wrote to both of them and said, stay away from all that. Stay away from the foolish questions and the genealogies. Boy, tracing this, go all the way back, thousands of years and bring it all the way up. You know what God said? Waste of time. That's useless. That's the meaning of the text. By the way, if you look at the word debate in the New Testament, you'll never find it in accordance with the Spirit of God working through it. You'll always find it in the works of the flesh as a work of the flesh to become a debate person over Scripture. Foolish questions are the things that lead to debate but no certainty. Genealogies are tracing generations of void. Why? Because they bring strife and there's no truth to be found there. Brethren, we got a bunch of Christians that are diving into all kinds of stuff. Just know God. Amen. Just spend your time knowing God. Just develop your knowledge of God and His Word. Just spend a lot of time there. That's the place to spend time. Seek after that knowledge. Fools graze in debate, which results in contention. But wise people spend time in edifying the believer. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. The pursuit of knowledge, we've got to discern our attitude, but we've also got to understand there's a grand divide here between wise and foolish. And just because you were wise yesterday doesn't mean you're wise today. It depends on where you're grazing. And so 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4 says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. What should I do rather than that?" By the way, it's written to pastors. I don't need to be on blogs figuring out every little doctrinal detail and in debate with other preachers. You know what I need to do? I need to keep my nose in this book and study the book and know God. And you know what? That'll please God. And spend time edifying God's people. In fact, that's the scripture here. Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Preacher, what if I give time to all that? It's robbing your edification ministry. That's what it's doing. Man, I can't edify and be involved in all of this over here. It's important that we understand God's word tonight. Debate is not a fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was fearful that he would come to Corinth, lest there be debates and envies and wraths and strifes and backbitings and whisperings and swellings and tumults. Solid Bible knowledge, solid Bible doctrine, solid Bible teaching and preaching are safe. They're safe. Stay grazing in that pasture. You'll stay safe. I have watched Satan influence young people, other pastors, good men and women with bad information because they changed where they graze. Don't change where you graze. Hear your pastor's voice tonight. Graze in the safe places. And so, we ought to pursue knowing God. We ought to seek after it. We see the divisions there of wise and the fool. Thirdly, we see the dangers to gaining spiritual knowledge. You say, preacher, on one hand, you're telling me to seek after and pursue it, man, give my life to it. On the other hand, you're telling me there's dangers? There are. The danger is it only stops at knowledge. And we don't apply it. In your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 12. Parents, I want to speak to your hearts tonight. If your children do not see you apply the Bible, my children do not see me apply the Bible, what kind of life are they going to live? They are going to live a life that has lots of knowledge without any reality. And you know what that points out to? That points out to a Christianity that doesn't make sense, that I don't want to live. There's a danger of gaining knowledge and not applying your heart. Look at what the Bible says, Proverbs 23, verse 12, "Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge." Go back to the previous chapter, chapter 22, verse 17. The Bible says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." Boy, there's got to be a diligence. There's got to be a diligence in getting knowledge from God's word. But there has to be as much diligence in applying knowledge from God's word. My, it's important when you're sitting under biblical preaching and teaching. Boy, if God deals with you with something in the service, to write it down, to make plans right away, to put it into action, because that's application. And he says, boy, there's a danger of knowledge, and the danger of knowledge is that you don't apply it. And then what does knowledge do? It puffs up. It has no impact on your life. Gaining spiritual knowledge, there's a danger when we get Bible knowledge, but we don't apply it. What else, preacher? There's the diligence to get knowledge. Turn back to our text, Proverbs 15, 14, and I'm almost done tonight. Not a long message tonight. But there's the diligence to get knowledge. Proverbs 15, verse number 14, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." Seeketh. We read that word in a number of other passages already in the message. It means to search out. It means to strive for. It means to beg for. As though there is a hunger that I have to get this. And I have to get it right now. As though when the opportunity passes my way to get Bible knowledge, to invest time into learning about God and His Word, boy, I don't pass those opportunities up. There's another verse I want you to see in relationship to this. It's in Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. That seeking can get to a level that it causes you to separate yourself unto it. We read about it in Proverbs 18 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. He seeketh. He goes after it. There's a desire in his heart to get it. He separates himself unto it. I remember back to 1993. 1993, I graduated from high school. And there came the day to leave home, to go away to college. I didn't know it was going to be a 6-year ordeal. I left home. We drove 17 hours, ended our vacation up there. Mom and Dad dropped me off a week before school started. I cried my eyes out, hugged them, bumps and bruises and everything else. But it was a time of separation. I didn't enjoy the separation side of it. But the separation put me in a place to seek after God. And for 6 years of my life, every day of my life was about seeking God and His Word and knowledge of God. You know what? I don't look back and say, ooh, I think I made a mistake. Never have I looked back and said, that was a mistake. Young people, I want to talk to you tonight. I still believe, I believe this as a youth pastor for years, I still believe it. I still believe out of high school, I still believe. Parents, I think you ought to breathe this to your kids. I breathe this to my kids from the time they were 8, 9 years old. Give the first year after high school to God at Bible college. I'm just going to seek God and His Word. I'm just going to put my life in an everyday atmosphere of learning the Word of God. Seek after, strive for, separate yourself from some other things, to give the first year of your life after high school to, you know what, God? I just want to get more of You. I want to give the first year after high school to, Lord, just getting more of You and Your Word and knowledge of You. That's a good decision. And I yearn for more young people to come to that decision. To be so hungry in your heart to seek after knowledge, to say, you know what? I got a good base. Boy, I've been in a good church, but there's more. Boy, it's not going to hurt me to go away to a good Bible college where the Word of God is upheld, where they're not questioning the Word, but boy, for me to know some certainty on some things, it's going to help me. Diligence to get knowledge. Mount Zion Baptist Church, may I remind you tonight, it is not about a church picnic. I'm glad we're having one. I enjoy the fellowship. But it is about instructing people in the knowledge of God and His Word. That's the focal point here. That's why we exist. I wonder tonight if your hunger needs restored. I wonder if your seeking has become casual. I wonder if your attitude towards biblical knowledge and knowing God, His Word, His will, His ways, His principles. I wonder if you kind of have grown a little apathetic in all of that. I wonder if you're here, and it's possible somebody's here, and actually your heart has turned towards the Word of God doesn't taste good to me at all. I can't wait till I don't have to hear the Word. The Bible talks about that. What is the reason for all of this, preacher? Why pursue after knowledge? Because the last point here is the dispersion of knowledge. The Bible says that the lips of the wise in Proverbs 15:7 disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So you can give every detail about every politician. Is that what our world needs? I'm challenging all of us tonight. From here to November, there's competitions, there's candidates are important. But your knowledge of politics, is it as important as your knowledge of the Word?
No.
And the people that you talk with politics about, do they need to know about politics or do they need to know about Jesus? The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, and they disperse the right knowledge. They disperse the knowledge of God. They're ready. They're ready because they're grazing in the right places. They're feeding on the right things. Their soul is full of the Word. They're ready to give answers from the Word. They're ready to give truth that is unadulterated, that is not mixed with air. They're ready to give clear truth that will help people because the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. When you can't be certain of truth, your ways are movable. Agur speaks of it, I am more brutish than any man, have not the understanding of a man, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. What does a life look like without the knowledge of God? It looks like the ways that are movable in a strange woman. It looks like the man that is brutish that says, I have no knowledge of the holy. It's a really messed up life. And dear Christian, you have to make the choice to pursue the knowledge of God. Parents, you have to make the choice on what knowledge your kids are going to be strong in. I appreciate Brother Bobby's burden for history, but his kids better know more about the Bible than they know about history. You can learn from history, but no history book is a transforming book, but the Bible is. The Bible will renew your mind. The Bible will convict your heart. The Bible will accomplish so much more. We have to understand that our pursuit of knowledge needs to be great. We need to be people that seek after a knowledge of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,